Very pleased to be joined right now by the voice of the Browns. And you know him, of course, from WKYC Channel 3, Jim Donovan. Jim, welcome back.
It is great to be back with you, Vic. I'll tell you, it seems like it's been a long time since we got ready for the Steelers at the end of the year.
I'm so used to this room, the studio, having you, having Doug Deacon, Tom Withers. But, you know, we break up. It's not that we broke up the band. We're just kind of piecemealing it through the offseason.
Well, it's interesting right now, and this is a yearly tradition, but Doug Deacon at this point in the season, some would think he's off playing golf.
Yeah.
But right now what he's dedicated the last 5 years, and I think it's helped him in the broadcast, is he takes Samoan players' names and works on them 3 days a week during the offseason, and he's ready to go then by September.
Can he do that, though, and multitask, do that at a golf course? I'm thinking he might.
I don't think so. I don't know. I think the Samoans really have him wrapped up.
That's a good thing for Doug to do. Absolutely. Well, so many places we can go. I want to start with the obvious, Jim, because so much discussion about how this team is going to fix itself in the general term, but most specifically what is said when you say that is fix the offense. And as we move closer to the combine next week, the draft, where you think and how you think this team can go about taking those steps. I'm in my mind, step one was the hiring of Brad Childress as an offensive coordinator, just hiring the offensive coordinator, a role that did not exist separate from Pat Shurmur last year. So they've done that. How big of a first step do you think that is?
You know, I think it's a big first step because I think it was something that people thought might have been missing in the blend last year. And, of course, Pat came in and took over as the head coach of the team. And I think that's a pretty big plate in front of you when you add on head coach of the team and the lack of an offseason. And the first time you've done this and you're bringing a new offense in and you're going to call the plays. Right. And you're going to deal with a really young quarterback, too. So it's a lot. So I thought it was something that as the season went on last year, people really started saying, well, next year they'll have an offensive coordinator. And, boy, they get an offensive coordinator. Think about this, Vic. When you get a guy like Brad Childress, who's been a head coach before and then is away from the game for a period of time, which is really 1 year for him away from the game, usually when you get them back into the NFL, the team that gets them back is the benefactor of that because they come back and they want to reestablish themselves and their reputation, and they normally get back to what they do best, which is him on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, you know, Dom Capers, when he went back and he went to Green Bay, their defense jumped up. Wade Phillips going to Houston. I mean, that is a great defense now, and that's what Wade does best, and I'm sure the Browns will be helped by this.
And they're energized. I mean, I sense from Brad, just seeing him around the building, he is raring to get at it.
Sure.
There is that sense of reestablishing, sort of proving that you're still a very viable part of this league because you've done the head coaching thing. Okay, that didn't work out, but the man knows offense, and the man is also, I think, excited about the chance to be with a football team that really needs the help. It's a high-profile situation.
And here's the other thing. I mean, he's a Brett Favre interception away from coaching in the Super Bowl that year when he had the Vikings down there in the Superdome, and they had the Saints pretty well pinned and getting ready to kick a field goal, and they threw that interception. So there are two routes that you take when it happens to you, I think, and you're a head coach and the situation is going to change and you're going to be relieved of your job. I think you either go to a network and become an analyst or you get back into the game after a comfortable period of time, and he went back into the game. And I really do believe teams that get those guys are helped out.
No, and one of the points he stressed when he was doing his camp tour, he made the stop here with SiriusXM NFL Radio and was sitting in the very chair you're in, said that being on the outside looking in is something that is refreshing to his point of view, that he's taking notes, that he was taking notes while he was here at Browns camp, was going to take notes when he was heading to the Steelers camp, and however many other stops he made along the way to just observe. He says, you always are in a box when you're doing the job. Now I'm outside the box.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see how that impacts his decisions as someone who either designs the offense or has a major say along with Pat Shurmur, certainly, and they're going to work together. And then how it evolves right now, it's Pat Shurmur's job, or still his job, to call the plays, but how Brad Childress may influence that, either in a real sense of doing it at some point or just influencing the way Shurmur does it?
Well, and the other comfortable thing, and I think Browns fans should be very comforted by this, is that when they met here and the deal was done, it wasn't a first meeting. I mean, these guys had worked together for a long period of time in Philadelphia and obviously had worked there. And so, I mean, there's a comfort factor here, and that's a good thing, I think. Sometimes when you bring a guy in and it's a completely different situation than you were ever used to, there's a getting-to-know-you process, and I think last year for the Browns, it was a full season of a getting-to-know-you process, and I think they had to get beyond that.
No doubt. Now, the next phase of this is who will be the quarterback that Brad Childress helps, that the coaching staff works with. And that question, I think we're going to know. We may not, I guess, get the definitive answer on a starter for a long while through this offseason, but we're going to get a clue probably in this draft. And then the question becomes, is it a prominent pick? Is that fourth pick going to be Robert Griffin III, or will they move up to get a Robert Griffin III if he's not there? And a lot of debate over that. I just wonder from your perspective, Jim, how hard a push has to be made to now Mike Holmgren makes it clear that a quarterback comes aboard, a new quarterback should join this team in one form or another, just didn't say how prominent an avenue that he's going to travel to get to this team, this next quarterback. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I follow the, you know, the Holmgren trail through his years in the NFL, and certainly when he went to Green Bay, and Brett Favre was acquired through a trade. You know, he also then brought Matt Hasselbeck, you know, out to Seattle with him, and of course, you know, so I don't know. It will be interesting before we get to the draft what happens in free agency, because there will be some things go on there. I mean, and it will also be a big factor in the draft who gets their quarterback through free agency. Which one of these teams says, we can't wait for our rookie quarterback to come in here? Our market and our fan base is saying, hey, you got to go right now. Our team is built that we just need the last piece. It's a big piece, the quarterback, and we have to go get one of these guys right now. So Matt Flynn. Certainly, what's going to go on with Peyton Manning? What happens with Peyton Manning? It's a daily thing that goes back and forth, where he goes or if he stays in Indianapolis or if he plays at all. So before we get to April and the draft and all the meetings that they have with these quarterbacks who are coming out, I think that maybe some of the chips will fall into place and the Browns will have a vision and maybe they become active themselves in free agency, because you could go out and get a guy that's already played or he's been in camps before. And, you know, there are the marriages that can be made there.
Jim Donovan joining us. He is the voice of the Browns, also on WKYC Channel 3 in Cleveland. Jim, on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Jim, when we talk about the quarterback position, we also have to talk about what it means to the future of Colt McCoy, because no matter all the scenarios you just laid out, the Browns could take one of those avenues, draft, free agency, whatever, and get a quarterback who falls under the category of potential long-term guy. It doesn't necessarily erase Colt McCoy from 2012's plans. He could still be here. He could still be viable as the starter, and then you're working the next guy to take over, or at the very least, you're saying we'll have a legitimate competition in training camp with McCoy. But either way, Mike Holmgren, clearly no one in their comments after the season we heard was ready to say that job does belong to Colt, but they didn't say it wouldn't be.
Yeah, and absolutely, you're right. I mean, the thing that came out of the, you know, the week or so after the Steeler game and the last game of the regular season was that there was no clear-cut endorsement for Colt McCoy, that it's his job when he comes back and gets over the concussion and the nasty one that he had against the Steelers, that we just go on now and he's ready to go. There was no endorsement of that.
Right.
And I think the Browns are comfortable with a guy like Seneca Wallace. You know, he gives them a lot of flexibility. He's the perfect backup quarterback because he's been in there. He's also a different kind of quarterback. I mean, he's a change of pace. In fact, he gives you a quicker pace. He gives you a longer pace, a wider pace, because he stretches the field. But again, you did not hear the ringing endorsement for Colt, who right now has to be saying, gosh, I wish I could have just played through everything. And, you know, right now he gets kind of an incomplete. He has 21 starts, I think, now in the NFL, and certainly didn't get a chance to finish the season because of injury. I think he would have loved to have been able to play those last few games, certainly against the competition that he would have played against, to show a little bit more. And so right now he's got to be sitting there saying, boy, I don't know if I did enough.
And I saw legitimate momentum from him, at least in the first part of that Pittsburgh game. I saw there were things that happened that he did in the early part of that Pittsburgh game that maybe for the first time all season I saw that made me say there could really be something here, and it was manifesting itself late in the year, which maybe shouldn't be a shock
because
of his
progress.
Right?
It makes sense.
Yeah.
It's progress.
It's
yeah.
more time and more experience. All right, we're just getting started with this discussion about the Browns offseason with Jim Donovan, the Browns play-by-play voice here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game. Back with Jim Donovan, the play-by-play voice of the Browns, and, of course, on WKYC Channel 3. You see him there. Jim, when we talk about the offense and making it better, the discussion obviously doesn't end with quarterback. It continues on with needs, glaring needs. Offensive line, I would say. Wide receiver, to say the least, in terms of just adding playmakers. And we can't forget running back because we really don't know. Even, you know, the uncertainty of Peyton Hillis's contractual status makes that an obvious. But even at that, is that solving everything? If you did re-sign him, do you have all your answers at running back? And I'm not necessarily sure that's the case either.
No, you're right about that, Vic. And you know, the Peyton Hillis story is such a long and winding story from last year about what was going to happen and what didn't happen. There was no contract, and you know, and then there was the sickness, and then there was the hamstring injury, and then there was the reappearance of Hillis, who I think Peyton realized late in the year, I got to get going here. I'm running out of games, so if it's going to be here, I have to show them that they need me. If it's going to be somewhere else, I got to show the rest of the NFL that I'm not this injury-riddled guy, and I got to go out there and I got to rack up some yardage. So I loved him against the Ravens late in the year when he had the 120 plus yards in that game on Christmas Eve. You know, and that's the old Peyton Hillis. But I think that Peyton's got to realize that. And I thought this after opening day last year, because I didn't think he played a lot in the preseason, as I remember.
Right.
But the Bengal game, okay, here we go. This is us. Okay, and I don't think Hillis was content with how many carries he was going to get in a game. It was going to be vastly different, Vic, from what he did the year before, where he was over 50% of their offense.
Yeah, because the offense changed, and Pat Shurmur's vision was very different from Eric Mangini.
Sure, and that's going to happen, and it's not going to change back. So, I mean, I think his role would have to be different. Plus, the role of the running back here with the Browns is going to be different because of the style of offense that they want to play eventually and look better at playing. So I think the running back position is something that I would think right now that you don't want to invest a ton of money in because...
Or what about the really high pick for, like, say, a Trent Richardson from Alabama?
Absolutely.
Is that a good thing, or is that too much of a... Is that going too far with it?
Yeah, I don't think right now the way that it looks as though they want to run their offense and what they want to do with it, I'm not sure that they are the type of team that is going to give a running back 30 carries a game.
Right.
And, you know, and count on him to really – I mean, you do want to have it in certain games, and I know people are going to say, hey, Jim, in November here at the stadium, I get you. But, you know, it still looks to me like everybody wants to throw the ball, and the teams that throw it really well are going to be able to win each and every Sunday. So I'm not so sure that, you know, you're going to be able to commit to a running back, the type of money, Adrian Peterson, that kind of money to somebody, and you're going to get your value out of that with the way the offense that they want to run here.
Tackle and receiver also make this a very interesting dynamic because, you know, you sit here and start rattling off three or four positions of need. You're not hitting them all with premium picks. You don't have enough. I mean, you got two first rounders, so you can hit two of them with those if you wanted to go that way. But I think there is, and maybe this is a good dilemma to have, to say we've got premium picks if we count what is collected through the first few rounds of this draft, to say that's where you can address these key offensive areas and feel good about it. You still have free agency to work with, obviously, March 13th before the draft. But I just wonder how much wrangling goes on among this personnel staff to really determine the right way to go. And if is your sort of mediocre passing game right now to poor passing game right now made better by the better receiver, better lineman?
Whole dilemma. I think that we walked away from the season saying, I mean, if we don't have our quarterback or, you know, are we giving up on the kid, Colt McCoy, too quickly and being too harsh on him? Were those receivers good enough to make him look better? I'm uncomfortable with their receivers as a group because, number one, I don't think they get down the field. I don't think they have the speed that you really want to have. Mm-hmm. The one guy that can just get away from everybody, and I don't think it's Josh Cripps. I think he has a different kind of getaway speed. He's a very physical guy. The game he played at the end of the year against Pittsburgh where he made a ton of catches, I think that's his game.
Because he was in open space. They're blitzing. Sure. He's finding the vacated bubble area. They're putting the ball in
his hand. And then he goes. But I think that, we just don't have that guy that can get off the line of scrimmage and separate. I mean, and I think we saw certainly teams, the Giants and Victor Cruz and Manningham and Knicks for the Giants and those kind of players. And I think that, you look at those kind of receivers. You certainly look at the kid down in Cincinnati and what he was able to do in A.J. Green.
Right.
And he gets you a lot of yardage quickly. And I think that the way the Browns played, they didn't get a lot of yardage in big plays. There was a total lack of big plays
on
the season. So for them to get down the field, let's face it, Vic, it was going to take 12 play drives, don't you think? Covering
totally methodical types of drives. Jim Donovan, play-by-play voice for the Browns, joining us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And Jim, the thing that can't be forgotten in this whole process of selecting players and making this team better, and I'm sure won't be forgotten, even if this is an offensive-oriented draft versus the previous two that had been defensive-driven early on, defense is still going to be prominent. And I had Dick Duran on the show yesterday and talking about, hey, the strength of this team was that unit that he put on the field, and the conversion from the 3-4 to the 4-3 worked remarkably well with no time to really prepare for it in the offseason. So, but to make this better, to enhance it, it's a pass rusher, I think, right? Yes. Or a corner. And again, two premium spots. And I'm just wondering how tough it will be if one of those real premier guys is sitting there at 4 or at 22 or at a spot where you're thinking, oh, they're going to go offense here, but they just might surprise us and go, I don't know if it's a surprise, but they go defense. There's logic to that.
Oh, I think there is definite logic. I don't think you can force a pick. So if we sat here and said the Browns definitely need a wide receiver, but if the wide receiver that they want is gone, that they would possibly pick at number 4. If it was the kid from Oklahoma State, Blackman, and if he's gone, then I don't think you can force a pick and say, all right, we're going to take the kid from Notre Dame, Michael Floyd, and we're going to put him at number 4. I mean, I think that's insane.
Sure.
I mean, he could be there at 22 when you pick again.
Right.
So I'm with you on that. I think that if at that point you have to take a look at an outstanding player. At 4, you should get an elite player that's going to go out on the field and make a difference right away. And if that's a cornerback that goes along with Joe Hayden, or if that's a pass rusher that's going to go on the other side of Jabal Sheard, then you're going to be a much better football team because of that. At 4, you have to make yourself instantly a better team, I think.
Right. That has to be the pick that, as Tom Heckert said, you can't screw up because it's a fourth pick of the draft. It's a premier spot, and every draft at least gives you always, but that 5 or 10 premium guys, you're in line at that spot to where you're going to get somebody who helps you.
Yeah,
right away.
And Vic, I remember the night that they picked Joe Hayden here, and everybody was kind of all excited because the exciting players up top are quarterbacks, receivers, running backs, and things like that, and maybe a tackle, maybe a great road grading kind of tackle that's going to keep your quarterback clean. But then when you look at it, and when they picked Joe Hayden, it was a very intelligent pick for this team.
Sure.
And then when you back away from it, and then you watch Joe Hayden play, you go, wow, there you go.
No, that Joe Hayden was such a smart choice, and a guy who I think still very comfortable. As much as he has to transition in this new defense, his natural skill, his instincts, I think are so good, and he's only going to get better as each year goes on. And I think you're looking at a legit premier cornerback in this
and
game.
And you know what, Vic? The thing you love about him is that every Sunday he takes the best that the other team has, and he takes them all day long.
Yeah.
The best receiver that the other team is going to offer, He's got them all day long.
And doesn't flinch.
And doesn't flinch.
Doesn't flinch one bit. All right. Well, we have covered about as much as we can right now. There's so much more in this offseason we can talk about, Jimmy. We'll bring you back, you know, post-combine when we start getting into player names and you hear all the various experts around the league rank their players. But there's a lot more to delve into and free agency coming up in March. So this conversation continues.
Absolutely. Everywhere you go, Vic, I mean, people want to know,
yep.
What are they going to do?
What are they going to do? He is Jim Donovan.
He
is the voice of the Cleveland Browns, and you also see him on WKYC Channel 3 here in Cleveland. On Cleveland Browns Daily, it's driven by Liberty Ford, brought to you by Madden NFL 12. In stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.